Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It's Major News with Major Garrett, our weekly conversation with CBS's chief Washington correspondent.
And before we get to our guy, the chief Washington correspondent for CBS News, Major Garrett, another bit of news that has just passed our desk. It is Missouri quarterback Bo Prabula. You know Bo Prabula? The QB for the Missouri Tigers, who are about to play in the Gator Bowl against Virginia, coming up. Well, he is entering the transfer portal.
How about that?
So he is leaving Mizzou, and he will not play in the Gator Bowl.
Wow.
So sorry for you, Mizzou fans. And that includes our guy, Major Garrett, chief Washington correspondent for CBS News, a Mizzou guy. How's it going, Major?
A lot worse than it was a minute ago.
Yeah. He's like, well, after that introduction, I'm not feeling quite as good as I was.
No, that's awful.
Yeah. So I guess that means what? The freshman is going to be stepping back in and finishing up the season.
Yeah. I'm very surprised at that news. I don't know what it is that Bo Prabula does not believe he was offered at Mizzou. He went into the competition as one of two quarterbacks, the other quarterback injured on the very first and one and only play from scrimmage in the first game of the regular season. He had the job all year long until he was injured, came back. I mean, I don't know what Eli and the offensive coordinators didn't do for him and didn't create for him. What he made of that opportunity is subject to debate. There are parts of his game that played very well, parts of it that didn't, but That's a drag, and it's part of the story of college football right now, where it is a free agent market, and even if a university puts all their chips on the table behind a player, the player can say, no, I'm still not satisfied, and wander off someplace else. Whoever he goes to, whoever takes him, you're not going to win a national championship with Bo.
Oh, wow. There you go. Look at that.
Didn't think you were going to get that kind of analysis from Major Garrett.
That was good.
Mizzou wasn't going to win one with Bo either. All I'm saying is the program did everything it could to make the situation as good as it could be for him.
No, I think you make good points. And you're seeing players in the government starting to move out, too. We just had the news yesterday. Dan Bongino has decided he's stepping out, and it looks like he's going back to radio.
So is he going? So he's not in the portal.
I think he's decided that he wanted to get back, and he wanted to make some money. So he's
exactly.
Like,
and let's just remember what a kind of interesting sequence of events. The FBI announced the arrest of the person charged in the pipe bomb on the night before January 6th. The pipe bombs laid in front of the DNC headquarters and the RNC headquarters here in Washington. Dan Bongino was asked why that this arrest had nothing to do with the conspiracy theories that he had propagated on his podcast and radio show with such vehemence. He said, oh, I was, back then, paid for my opinions. Meaning, it was a license to lie to his audience without disclosing to them that these were lies meant for ratings. Then he gets in the FBI and they pursue an investigation, and that case is off to its prosecutorial start. We'll see how far it goes. But the contrast between what the FBI says is the real reason and the real suspect behind the pipe bombs and what Dan Bongino had always said is in such stark contrast that the only way he could explain it was, I was lying for money then, and I'm in the FBI now. Well, now he's going to go back to that life that he once described as I'm paid for my opinions, which I guess is lying for ratings. Perhaps that's a more comfortable place for him to be than deputy director of the FBI.
Also want to pass this along. This has nothing to do with anything else. But if you are out there on the roads, westbound 70 remains closed. Traffic is diverted at Wentzville Parkway due to a crash that happened earlier west of Wentzville. There's a backup east of 61. So needed to pass that along. Just handed to me from the newsroom and wanted to give you that. So last night, Major, was the speech, the final speech of 2025 from President Trump. What were your thoughts on what we heard?
First of all, I want to make sure, did anyone in the audience hear it? Was he loud enough?
Well,
I mean, a lot of the theater critics are like, wow, he really sounded amped up and like he was at times shouting. Also, it felt to me, and I've watched, as you might well imagine, a great number of Trump speeches in lots of different venues. I've never seen him speak as fast as he spoke last night. It seemed like there was an imperative to get that thing under 17 or 18 minutes, and they had more in the prompter than he could have, in his regular way of speaking, handled in 17 minutes, so it felt very rushed. If anyone was expecting something really new or forward-looking into 2026, other than things are going to get better than you feel they are now, you were disappointed. I'm not saying things aren't going to be better in 2026. I think economically the prospects are very positive for more GDP growth, probably more jobs. I mean, the president needs more jobs in his first year. Jobs have been way underperforming. And there's a very good possibility that inflation will be a little bit more tame than it was in his first year. And if he's right about all this, this speech will age better than it looked last night. That format is not to the president's strong suit. It just isn't, never has been. That's why he does it so infrequently. And lots of people were thinking, well, is he going to announce a Christmas truce in Ukraine? No. Announce new war plans for Venezuela? No. So a lot of those things that are sort of hanging out there right now, very big issues in which his administration are very heavily involved, doing lots of different things, no mention of. And the other thing is, healthcare is a big disruptor in Congress right now. There's no resolution in part because the White House simply will not say what it's willing to accept in terms of soon-to-expire Obamacare tax credits. And until it does, Congress is going to be tied up in a knot. And when Congress is tied up in a knot, it fails to act. And starting December 31st, those who are using those enhanced tax credits are going to see them disappear and their premiums are going to go up and people are going to either pay more or lose coverage. And that's a huge issue, mostly unaddressed last night.
What did you think about the bonus for the military that he announced?
So that's certainly that members of the military will be very happy to get. It's from money that was set aside, created in the big, beautiful bill for housing allowances. So they're taking money that was dedicated for specific housing needs and just giving it in lump sum checks, and cleverly 1776 is the amount, beginning of our country, setting things up for the 250th anniversary of the country next year. I'm sure that will be well received. The money's already in there. The president can allocate it as he chooses. It's just taking money dedicated to one thing, housing, and moving it just into straight up checks. I think the military will probably be okay with that, but I guess in the future there'll need to be more allocations for military housing because that's what this was for, and now it's going to be diverted to these checks.
Major Garrett, Chief Washington Correspondent for CBS News, is with us on KMOX. So we got the healthcare vote yesterday, mm-hmm. and there is expected to be another one on the subsidies coming in January. So where do we stand right now, and how do we expect that vote in January to go?
So the reason the House Republicans voted on what they voted on yesterday is because they don't, at the leadership level and through most of the House Republican conference, don't believe in these enhanced Obamacare tax credits. They were created first during COVID and the inflation, first tranche of Biden-era efforts to deal with costs associated to COVID. Then they were extended in the Inflation Reduction Act. So they're a pure Biden creation. Democrats voted for them. Republicans never did. And House Republicans at the leadership level don't like them as they exist. So they never wanted to bring that to the floor. But they are expiring, and lots of Americans use them. 22 million Americans use them at one level or another. And four House Republican moderates eager to vote on this question to at least have an opportunity to extend these tax credits, abandoned their leadership, signed up with Democrats on what's called, and we're all learning more and more about this. I've known about it for a long time because I cover Congress, but most Americans don't know what a discharge petition is. That's a way to circumvent the House Republican leadership. They won't put something on the floor. How do you put something on the floor? You get enough signatures to force it on the floor. Well, that's now happened, and it wouldn't have happened without these four Republican moderates deciding to abandon their party leadership, it's an important point, and side with the Democrats on this question. Once you have enough signatures, you need 218 for a discharge petition, it must come to the floor for a vote. House Republican leaders cannot stop it. They can only decide when it comes to the floor. That will probably be in January. If the House passes it, and there's a very good likelihood that it will, then it goes to the Senate. There are all sorts of Senate Republicans and Democrats trying to work on some sort of fix for this. My prediction for you, here's what the important part, sometime in January, probably right up against the deadline to avert a government shutdown, which is January 30th, both the government shutdown and this question of tax credits under Obamacare will be resolved for at least some period of time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
1 year, maybe two.
How many of the Republicans who crossed over are not running for re-election next year?
All of them are running for re-election next year.
So Marjorie Taylor Greene was not part of this.
She was not. No.
Okay. Well, I figured she would have been one leading the charge for this. That seems to be one of the issues that she keeps bringing up that she's different with President Trump on.
You're absolutely right. That's a great hunch. Why wasn't she? And why weren't other Republicans who are supportive of and sympathetic to and would like to see these tax credits extended, at least for a short period of time, with some reforms? Why didn't they sign the discharge petition? Because the discharge petition is a very aggressive act against your leadership. It's the thing that leadership never forgets. And you only do it when you think the issue is of such vital importance that your devotion to party, party loyalty, and your good relationships with those who decide whether you're going to get campaign reelection money or committee assignments or things like that, and also just in the cohesion of an effective majority. Stepping outside of that is a very big deal. Marjorie Taylor Greene did it on the Epstein files because she believed the victims needed what they've long sought, and that was a bigger issue than House Republican leadership's. On this policy, she said, no, I have a disagreement on policy, but I'm not going to abandon my leadership. I'm not going to abandon my party on this. Signing a discharge petition, siding with the other side is a huge step, a very confrontational step, one that leadership never forgets, frequently punishes, and that's why so few members of Congress do it. These four did because they think the politics for them and their district and their reelection make it an imperative for them to do that, but it's a big move.
So you did mention earlier, we were talking a little bit about the jobs numbers, inflation, and all of that, and it was addressed during Trump's speech, at least a little bit was addressed during that speech. Is there any indication, though, that people agree with him on this, or is the perception still that he's not doing a particularly good job on the economy?
People still feel stressed, and that's showing up in every piece of polling data. Every piece of polling data. Costs continue to aggravate, and it's not just the cost of goods, what you buy at the supermarket or a department store or online. Cost of services. I think this is one of the underappreciated parts of this conversation. What do you pay for a haircut? What do you pay for any service you get in the broader economy? Those prices are also going up, in some cases more than what you pay at the grocery store. So you're encountering higher costs in different places. Also, if you're trying to insure your property or you're paying rent, those things are going up. If you are doing anything in terms of medical care, those costs are up. So it's not just one thing, and it's not one thing that any president, this one included, can immediately fix. Yes, this morning's data on inflation was down, a little bit lower than expectations, but there's a lot of holes in that data because the government shut down and the lack of survey data. So most economists are like, let's wait 1 month, we'll find out where inflation is. But it's still, according to all the polling data, aggravating to most Americans who are not really, really well off. So that's a political reality for the president. He's facing it now. Other presidents have faced it. They always try to talk the country into a better mood, a better idea, a better concept of things. It's not going to work right now, but the president doesn't need it to work right now. He can go into December and January with bad poll numbers, and so can Republicans. What he needs is perceptions about the economy to start shifting in a more positive direction by June of next year. By June of next year, if these perceptions now are still there, then it is going to be a dreadful set of midterms for Republicans. But if people feel better about the economy, feel better about jobs, inflation, wages by June, then Republicans have a chance to make their expected losses much less pronounced.
Major Garrett, we love talking to you, and we will speak again soon.
I feel bad that we started off with bad news.
I wish we hadn't started with that breaking news on Bo. That's a big fat bummer. I'm bummed out. My day is now completely ruined.
And
thank you for that.
If it helps, Eli did tweet out almost immediately after Prabula made the announcement that Matt Zollers is going to start the Gator Bowl. So,
yeah, and look, Matt did as well as he could, and I'm glad the announcement's out now, and we got a few days to plan. So go to it. I'll trust in Eli.
Yeah,
M-I-Z.
M-I-Z-Z-O-U. Thanks, Major.
Thanks, guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.